Welcome to This Is AI, the podcast that looks at the world of artificial intelligence and machine learning and figures out what it means for you. Hello and welcome to This Is AI. I'm Jonathan Seal, and the lack of another voice from the other microphone will tell you that this week we have no Gary Pretty. So this week's slightly unusual. In this special shorter episode, I'm just focusing on how AI is starting to come to the attention of people who regulate industries and govern the way that things operate. So we know that autonomous systems, algorithms, they're having a greater and greater impact on the way that we live our lives and on the services that consumers receive. And inevitably, that becomes more and more important to people like regulators and the government, especially when they begin to include the things that we take most for granted in life, like our power, our water, and even things like our democracy. So earlier this month, I attended the All-Party Parliamentary Group Subcommittee on Artificial Intelligence in Westminster, which sounds very grandiose, but I was really there just to cheer on the chair of the AI think tank, which is Pete Trainer, as he gave evidence before the committee on how AI is often misrepresented by the media. So he was talking a lot about how the impact this is having on the discourse around AI, how often that gets hijacked, and it prevents us from having a really sensible debate. But what was really encouraging, and it was seen both from Pete and also a lot of the other contributors, was the attention and effort that's being focused on the ethics and the governance and the thinking around how some of this, the structures could be put in place to really support good use of AI and do this in a way which gets away from the fear-mongering that tends to occupy our discourse. So a big part of today's podcast is going to be an interview that I've recorded with the amazing Claire Forbes from Ofwat. And that's looking at how artificial intelligence is impacting regulators and looking specifically at a major sector like the water industry. Now, before I do this, however, I'm going to call out one great AI news story that I have come across that has got a bit of a limited time window. So I'm going to talk about it now rather than when I'm next on with Gary. And that's about AI in Wimbledon. When the All England Lawn Tennis Club are trying to collate together the video that they need to upload to all of their social media channels, the official websites, apps and so on, they need to go through a huge amount of footage in order to call out kind of highlights. If you think about it, they've got six main courts, they've got multiple games going on per day, typically at least three, and that can add up to hundreds of hours of footage. So one of the challenges here is how do you manage to sift through that data, sift through that video footage, and call out what's going to be relevant and important and what's going to be compelling for viewers. And so they've turned to artificial intelligence. And the way that they've done it is they've looked for, you know, what are player activity that's going on, what emotional reactions are tennis players exhibiting, because obviously the real highs, the real lows, you'd expect that to correlate to really sort of intense parts of the match, and also crowd reaction. So, you know, if the crowd are really engaged and if the players are exhibiting high levels of emotion, that would tend to suggest it's a fairly effective clip. Now, the one thing that I found quite interesting about this story is it suggests a logical outcome, which is how do you as a player get more view time? How do you get more attention in the media? And that's you become more gamed towards the AI algorithms that are seeking this attention. So are we in effect starting to create a monster where the most emotionally charged players will get the most attention? And I suppose it's probably ever been thus. If you think back to the likes of John McEnroe, we haven't really changed that much. Okay, so on with the interview. A few weeks back, I caught up with Claire Forbes, who's the Senior Director of Corporate Communications at Ofwat. And I spoke to her about the role of regulators in the context of innovation and in the context of disruptive technologies like artificial intelligence. Claire, welcome to This Is AI.
Thank you, John. Good to be here.
So maybe to start with, it'd be great if we could have a little bit of an explanation of what it is that Ofwat does and your role within that.
Okay, so as you've already said, Ofwat is the economic regulator for water companies in England and Wales. And essentially what that means is that we set the prices that water companies can charge their customers. So the key thing about the water sector in England and Wales is that water companies are by and large monopolies. So as a household customer, you can't choose to switch supplier. There's no competition. So our role at Ofwat is to determine how much water companies can charge their customers. And in doing that, we push them to be efficient, to provide the best service, to innovate, and to really kind of keep on top of their game in terms of what they're offering to their customers. So in essence, that's what Ofwat does.
And your role there?
So I'm the person responsible for all of Ofwat's communications. So I lead all of our external communications, which means that I'm responsible for all our website, our campaigns, the way we work with different stakeholder groups, some of our liaison with water companies, and essentially, I suppose, the messages that kind of get through to customers about our work.
Brilliant. And I suppose the obvious question first, you know, why is it that a regulator and you, I guess, are interested in artificial intelligence?
I think there's actually quite a lot of reasons why regulators are interested in artificial intelligence. And certainly speaking from Ofwat's point of view, and the first thing is that we're really interested in innovation. Mm. And particularly because, as I said, water companies are monopolies. And so we see innovation as a real way to kind of drive improvement. Obviously, often in competitive environment, competition drives improvement. We haven't got that. We have as a role as a regulator in making sure that there's the best conditions possible for water companies to innovate and improve. And so innovation is a big theme for us. And so we have a role in encouraging companies to kind of be innovative, and potentially, obviously, AI is part of that. When we think about the kind of challenges that water companies are facing in the future, that we're all facing as a society, around things like climate change, around population growth, around water scarcity, AI could potentially have a key role to play in meeting those challenges.
I suppose it's fascinating because when we think of utility companies, we tend to think of organisations that are, you know, quite big, quite cumbersome, quite slow sometimes. And we think of artificial intelligence as being this sort of very nimble thing that, you know, a lot of startups involved in AI. But clearly, you know, this is a role where you can't play it fast and loose. You can't kind of, you know, jump into new technologies wholeheartedly. So I suppose this is an area where they've got to be involved for innovation, but also balance that and not be too free-flowing, I suppose.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's absolutely key. Obviously, the product that the water companies provide is just vital, quite literally, for society. So, you know, ensuring the resilience of that product is fundamentally important for us and for all the companies. So that's very much kind of front of mind. But actually, you know, one of the things we're exploring with companies is how AI can support that resilience. And certainly in the work that we've been doing in innovation, we've seen that the supply chain is also can be very nimble, very active. There are lots of startups that are working with water companies now. So you can actually get the best of both worlds between a competitive supply chain and the monopoly companies.
Yeah, to complement each other.
Yeah.
So you work on the communication side, and we know that communications, and especially customer communications, is an area where technologies have made a real difference. We see changes in the way that people are just communicating now. When you look at those changing ways we communicate and the changing expectations that go with it, how much is that feeding into the way that Ofwat and other regulators are, you know, demanding more from companies on behalf of customers in that way?
So I think potentially it's massively important, because one of the things that we're always saying to the water companies is it's really important for them to understand their customers. So actually, you know, the expectations that we set for the kind of customer engagement that companies have are growing all the time. And utilities and water sector have come a long way. So 4 or 5 years ago, we had water companies had what we called the biggest ever customer conversation in terms of engaging with their customers. And that's continued since then. And we are seeing them use lots of different techniques and ways of kind of keeping in touch with the customers. But I suppose the key thing behind, you know, beyond the mechanics and the technology, the big issue is about trust. And it's about customer trust. And sort of thinking about this as a communicator, you know, trust is personalized and it's also socialized these days. And technology has a big part to play in that. So I suppose the question that I would ask in terms of kind of communication is, you know, actually how far can AI be a tool for building trust between a company and its customers? And that's probably the nub of the potential there for water companies to explore.
Sure. So in your specific industry, so when we think about water, there has been a or is there is moving into a new price review, a new
that's right we've got our PR19 price review where we set the prices for the next 5 years, so
absolutely.
We're kind of about to be in the midst of that.
So that that particular review placed a lot more emphasis on innovation specifically,
right.
Here, far more than perhaps we've seen in the past.
Yep.
And challenging businesses within that sector to use that those kind of technologies to make them more customer focused. So we've also seen similar things with other regulated industries that we're aware of. Now, every company is obviously going to have to decide how they can innovate, how they can use technologies in different ways, and how they can achieve what the regulators are demanding of them.
Mm-hmm.
But in your view, how can utility companies respond well and innovate using things like AI?
So I think there are several ways, and you're absolutely right. We've really been pushing innovation. It's one of our big kind of four themes at the moment. And what we're seeing is a lot of companies are now thinking about using AI in terms of supporting their infrastructure.
Yeah.
So things like being able to identify leaks, predictive testing around identifying where leaks might occur,
mm-hmm.
before that happens. We're seeing a lot of activity around remote operation of sites. So where you've got wastewater or treatment sites that are in remote locations, they're actually much more controlled using technology remotely. Recently, we had the bad weather at the kind of end of February, March, lots of snow, and actually having that remote operation of sites meant that they didn't have to get vans and vehicles sort of plowing through the snow, so that kind of stuff. Drone technology is something. Water companies are responsible for reservoirs, big areas, so they're often able to use drones to kind of get into spot problems or identify cracks or whatever it is that remotely. So there are lots of different ways in terms of kind of technology for infrastructure. But I think there are other ways as well, which is around understanding customer behaviour.
Sure.
Around water use. So, water scarcity is a big issue, particularly in the south of England.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we need to think about as a sector is how to encourage water efficiency and how to encourage people to use less water. And so really kind of using data to understand kind of customer behaviour and then potentially using AI to actually drive behaviour change. I think is important as well. So lots of potential there.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely know that if there's one thing that AI is good at, it's being able to spot patterns, amongst a large data set, being able to look at that. One of the areas where I suppose it's becoming a little bit more interesting is, can we then flip that the other way to then drive different outcomes with, if we can apply AI to the way that we communicate, can we create a better outcome from customers?
Absolutely. So, and I suppose the potential there to kind of gamify by, perhaps enabling people to compare their water usage with that of others or whatever it is, using that data, there's all that kind of potential there. So, and I think one of the things here at Ofwat that we would be very kind of clear about is making sure that actually, the use of AI is driving customer benefit, and those customer benefits are very kind of tangible, whether that's through sort of efficient costs through the use of AI for technology or actually through the customer experience.
So that's some of the ways that we think AI can really benefit customers and some of the ways that utility companies can use AI. But we've also seen some pretty high profile issues with AI when customer data has been used in really poor ways or even malicious ways sometimes. And you only have to look as far as Facebook and know that some of the nervousness that's created within customers, but also in businesses, I guess, about how they use data and how they might use artificial intelligence in a good or a positive, positive way. So there's a tension there, isn't there, that's created when we look at, the massive amounts of data that companies like utility companies have on customers and some of the privacy concerns that you might hold. Personally, where do you think the line should be drawn, or is there some guidelines that you think that you can give?
Yeah, I mean, this is something we've been actively looking at and working with companies on in the last year. And one of the things that kind of really struck me was the Information Commissioner Elizabeth Denham, who I think talked about innovation and privacy, not innovation or privacy.
Sure.
And I think, to be able to combine those two. So obviously kind of compliance with GDPR and all the kind of relevant rules has to be a given.
Yes.
But one of the things when we were looking at this last year and talking to companies about use of data, and we asked water companies to provide us with their data strategies, and not a single water company was able to do that.
That's terrifying.
So,
isn't it?
Yeah, really interesting. And one of the key lessons for us that we've passed on to companies that came out of that piece of work is actually you need a strategy for how you're handling your customer data. We know that lots of companies are trying to use customer data better, but that has to be a basic kind of strategy about how that happens.
So, I mean, you touched on GDPR there, and I think sometimes, as you say, we have this sense that it's one or the other between innovation and privacy, and you're right to call out that actually it's they're not the same thing. One of the things that GDPR, I suppose, does is it actually helps us be a little bit more intentional about the data that we're collecting, which is allows you to be far more strategic about why you're doing what you're doing, which I suppose reflects what you're saying about data strategy. If we know what we're collecting and why we're collecting it, we're far more likely to do useful things with it.
That's right. And I mean, the kind of using data and making sure that customers are empowered so they know how their data is being used and they've got choice about that is kind of at the heart of GDPR. And I think one of the key things for us also about strategy is that actually having a data strategy means that you can then begin to think about what your ambition is for how you're going to use data, how you're going to layer it, all those kinds of issues. I mean, another problem, particularly within the water sector and maybe within other utilities too, is about quality of data.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and that's been an issue which last year we opened up the business retail market, so now businesses can actually choose to swap water supplier, and that exposed all sorts of issues around quality of data.
Yeah.
And that's something which water companies are working quite actively to address.
So it's the quality of data, but also from experience, it's the enabling that data to be put into a place where actually you can do meaningful things with it, because
that's a lot
of the time they are just in silos that have no way of doing something useful.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think also an interesting kind of mix of the data that comes from infrastructure about flow of water through pipes or
yes.
pressure or whatever it is, alongside the kind of customer data about how that's being used and how you can actually kind of layer that or mix that together to come up with something that's actually going to benefit the customer
sure.
in the end run.
And traditionally we've known that a lot of the time that operational data is very disconnected from the customer data,
yes.
So you can't make those associations. But equally we know that one of the things that artificial intelligence is really good at is spotting patterns,
yes.
So therefore being able to help in that marrying up. So yeah, some interesting opportunities. So we talked a little bit about some of the risks of the privacy. Do you see any other risks around using artificial intelligence in this sector?
So I suppose, coming from a kind of communications perspective, I'm always very kind of conscious about, how we're talking about this, and actually are we very clear that AI is driving customer benefit.
Mm.
So, that actually there are enormous benefits, as from using through AI around efficiencies or more resilient services. And there are, we need to be talking, shouldn't be talking about AI for the sake of it. We actually, when one of the things we know about talking to customers about water is that people don't really want to hear about pipes, they don't really want to hear about infrastructure, they don't want to hear about sewers. What they want to talk about is actually how important it is to them to be able to water their garden, or to be able to go and walk by their local river, or how important water is to their business. So I suppose for me the kind of constant thing is actually in terms of the implementation and the deeper use of AI to be able to relate that back to the customer experience and what's important to the customer. And that's key. I mean, the other thing which we've talked about before, as a communicator, is very conscious around the risks around algorithms, fake news, all of that kind of stuff. And we're very conscious about that as a kind of communications team here at Ofwat, that we need to be vigilant and alert, I think, to the risks of that.
So I suppose, just to fill in the gap then, I suppose, bias or incomplete data can have unintended consequences, and you can imagine in a situation where you're then using that an algorithm on that basis to make decisions about what you do with your service or who you prioritize, then that could have some fairly unpleasant consequences.
Absolutely, and of course once these things kind of start spreading, they spread sort of very quickly, and I think that kind of takes us back to the point about trust.
Yes.
You know, about these days that trust is personalised but is also socialised, and so, you know, we know from kind of all sorts of different sources that actually people these days tend to trust stuff that comes to them from friends and family on social media, but that also provides the risk of sort of incorrect information spreading.
On a, I suppose, a related note then, when we're thinking about, you know, customers and how they're served and that trust element and people being impacted inadvertently, there's obviously a segment of customers who are typically more vulnerable than other customers. And we often see when, you know, new shiny services are rolled out, they're often, you know, aimed at one particular group, which isn't that group. Is there a role for Ofwat or a regulator more broadly in making sure that when new technologies like AI are rolled out, that there's some way of making sure that those people don't get left behind?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important. And, you know, one of the things that is important, I think, is for the regulators to collaborate on this.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
Collaboration is, I think, going to be key to ensuring or providing the right services for vulnerable people. So, you know, we would hope that the utility services and utility companies would collaborate. Perhaps in sort of sharing data that might be able to predict someone's vulnerability or to ensure that somebody is looked after in an emergency situation, that they get priority services. And often it needs the regulators to collaborate in that, as well as in terms of setting expectations for companies. I mean, already we're sort of seeing how AI can help and support vulnerability. So I know of one water company that's talking about a service where it's you know, using technology to measure the flow of water through a vulnerable person's pipes. Obviously, this is all kind of with appropriate permissions. But actually, you know, if water stops flowing, then it implies that the tap hasn't been turned on, the loo hasn't been flushed for a period of time. That would then trigger an alert to a neighbour or a family friend that actually something untoward
which
might have happened.
Brilliant, because you can see how that's having real world immediate benefits. Yeah,
absolutely. But I suppose the other thing to kind of say that I think is a challenge for regulators and for utilities is that some of the key partners that we need to be working with are probably like the charities and the kind of grassroots organisations that really understand sort of vulnerability in local communities and the particular needs. And so thinking about the kind of use of AI, we need to make sure that those partners are included as well.
Sure. I mean, one thing that we've noticed is that when we have conversations with utility companies, both in the water but also in the energy sector, whenever we talk to them about some of the benefits of artificial intelligence, and you know, typically that comes around the area of efficiencies or, you know, saving call centre volumes and things like that, a lot of the time what they're then responding back to us is, yes, that's great, because that then gives us the opportunity to spend more time with people who are more vulnerable, which is, you know, I suppose the indirect benefit of having the AI working elsewhere.
Yeah, driving efficiencies. And I think one of the other things that's really important to say actually is the importance of a kind of blended approach, that AI can never be a substitute or for face-to-face kind of contact. And that's particularly important for, you know, vulnerable people. So recently in the bad weather, you know, if you've got somebody who's very elderly and infirm and living on their own, AI is never going to be a substitute for somebody turning up at their door and delivering them water when they're, you know, taps are dry. So actually it needs to be a blended approach.
Sure. So I suppose finally then, how about Ofwat itself? We've talked a lot about Ofwat and then steering the water sector, but we've also seen instances where regulators themselves are using AI or are implementing AI solutions to support them in what they do, you know, at their core. The Financial Conduct Authority in the UK are exploring using AI to streamline their sort of compliance process so they can get better outcomes when they're actually checking. Do you see any kind of role for AI within Ofwat itself?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good challenge. And I think, you know, certainly from a kind of communications point of view, we're very conscious that, you know, we're, the expectations that we put on water companies, we should be kind of, yeah, absolutely, we're a different kind of business, but nevertheless, we need to kind of be prepared to kind of walk the walk as well. Mm. So I think, you know, it's at an early stage for us, certainly within communications, as I sort of alluded to, we're thinking very actively about it from a social media point of view, in terms of kind of thinking about how algorithms work, what that means in terms of kind of filter bubbles, echo chambers, some of the risk that's around that. Yeah. And I just, you know, in other areas of our work, we are collecting a huge amount of data from companies. So undoubtedly, there could be a role for that in helping us kind of crunch some of that data. But it's at an early stage for us, but it's a good challenge and one we need to take on board.
Fantastic. Listen, so thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Claire Forbes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So that is it for this special interview episode. Normal Service and the distinctly not normal Gary Pretty will be back in full flow next time. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to This Is AI, a podcast brought to you by Mando with Gary Pretty and Jonathan Seale. You can follow us on Twitter. Just search for This Is AI. And please remember to share and rate the show. Join us next time, and thanks for listening.